This is a Tadad podcast.
Hello, and welcome to this first of two Tadad podcasts in a mini-series dealing with risk management and process management, respectively. With a nod to The Risk Society by Anthony Giddens and Love in the Times of Cholera by Gabriel Garcia Marquez, we're calling this episode Tax Administration in the Age of Risk. My name is Ronnie Nielsen. I'm a tax administration specialist with Deloitte's Center for Fiscal Systems. With me, I have Torsten Cumberland, Chief Risk Officer with the Danish Tax Agency and Chair of the Forum on Tax Administration Enterprise Risk Management Community of Interest. Risk, as we've been reminded by the pandemic, is a feature of modern society. Tax authorities manage a variety of risks, some well-known, others emerging and not necessarily well understood. A special category of risk that does not get enough attention is opportunity risk, the risk of missing out, for whatever reasons, on opportunities to improve things, harvest benefits, or deliver new forms of value. Few are better positioned than Torsten to help us understand the nature of those risks, what it takes to effectively manage them, and the trade-offs as you balance risks against other considerations. Torsten is also a valued former colleague with whom I share fond memories. Welcome, Torsten.
Thank you, Ronnie. It's a pleasure to be here and great to see you again.
Thank you, Torsten, and likewise. Now, before we dive into the substance, can you tell us a bit about your background, how you ended up in tax administration, and what motivates you?
I've been with the Danish Tax Authority for about 7 years. I started as head of a unit responsible for process and risk management in the tax compliance area that later adopted an enterprise-wide perspective. I've been working with the risks and processes for more than 20 years, among others in the Danish military. And even after all these years, I still remain intrigued by how risk and process management is interacting with almost every aspect of what an organization does.
Now, let's start with the basics. What is enterprise risk management and how is it relevant to tax authorities?
Enterprise risk management, EM for short, is a systematic practice of managing risks across the whole of an organization. It involves mapping risks across the enterprise and ensuring that decisions about how to manage them are made on a systematic and transparent basis, as opposed to managing them in a fragmented and ad hoc fashion, or not managing them at all. Giddens argued that risk is a feature of modern society, but I would stress that there was always risk. But modern society has created a more fluid and complex risk landscape. We were reminded of this with the pandemic, which came with risks in its own right, but also had a bearing on existing risks. Tax authorities need to be equipped to navigate this risk landscape. The failure to properly manage risks, whether they relate to tax compliance, cybersecurity, artificial intelligence, human resource, or something else, could undermine the trust and legitimacy that tax authorities depend on to effectively carry out their missions. It could also lead to loss of revenue. And because risks are plentiful and resources are not, tax authorities need to make difficult choices and be in a position to explain these choices to their stakeholders and also in their own organization. In this context, EIM is the set of tools and practices that can help commissioners sleep well and provide some insurance from arbitrary shifting around of resources.
Torsten, as chair of the Forum on Tax Administration Enterprise Risk Management Community of Interest, you have a unique international outlook. Can you give us an introduction to the community and share where tax authorities are at with enterprise risk management?
The COI was created after a successful two-day conference at the OECD in Paris in 2017. At the conference, it became clear that the tax authorities present shared most of their risks and mitigations with each other. There was a great spirit of sharing and collaborating to become better at EIM. Interest had also grown because of the COI's central position in sharing mitigations and risks regarding COVID. At one point, we had virtual meetings every 2 or 3 weeks. And now we're back to an annual conference and 3 to 4 virtual meetings during the year. The purpose is to share experiences with EIM models, actual risks, and their mitigations between authorities. We also conduct an annual survey on what the top risks are among tax administrations, how the risks are developing, what mitigations are working. We are a mix of tax authorities spanning from very advanced and experienced in EAM to administrations that have yet to start the EAM journey. As a group, we can also reduce the number of blind spots and avoid pitfalls that others have experienced. This makes for swifter progress on the EIM road. Most tax authorities face more or less the same top risks. Risk related to cybersecurity, artificial intelligence, and digitalization, they are certainly there at the top in this period. Business continuity was at the top during COVID, but it's less of an issue now. Risks related to human resource, such as the aging workforce and delivering a modern service to taxpayers, they are also among the top risks. Tax compliance risks are there, of course, but have moved from a very dominant position, and the risk landscape is much broader now and more detailed. I think that's also because tax compliance risks are being strongly mitigated and other risks are pressing our ability to achieve our goals. What really still surprises me about the results of the annual survey and the discussions in the COI is how similar we are, despite different cultures, geography, risk maturity, etc. It really shows the power and importance of sharing internationally.
It really does. Now, what are some of the challenges tax authorities are facing with enterprise risk management?
There are, of course, the challenges of the risks themselves, but also implementing and further developing the risk management of the administrations. That is a core challenge. While the values greatly outdo the resources involved, it's still a major issue to continually move ahead with the maturity of risk management in all administrations. I think one of the rewards of the COI is that we can share and discuss our challenges with colleagues who face the same issues. We also have some very advanced administrations in the group where we can see how far you can go and the road to get there for less advanced administrations. For the Danish administration, for example, the COI has reduced the time needed to reach our maturity goals with several years, because we could get material and inspiration from other tax authorities.
This sounds like a great community and well worth the investment for participating tax authorities. What are you focusing on at the moment?
A key focus area at the moment is emerging risks and horizon scans. We're fairly good at understanding and managing risks that might impact within the next couple of years. But it does get trickier when dealing with a longer time frame. This involves greater uncertainty, which challenges our imagination, and it makes it more difficult to act. But with mitigations often involving a long lead time, we need to improve our risk radar. Can, for instance, be a little too late to think about how we might legislate our way around a risk or adapt our IT systems when the risk is already manifest. Of course, we also need to acknowledge that we cannot predict the future, but we know enough to set some parameters around it that will help us make better choices and be better prepared for what the future may hold.
Indeed, the very exercise of thinking about the future will help you become more resilient. Now, if we turn to good enterprise risk management practice, can you draw up what, based on your experience and discussions in the community, are some of the key characteristics of good enterprise risk management in a tax administration context?
One of the elements in good enterprise risk management is a strong risk culture, where risks are continually discussed and assessed in an open manner. It's also having the support and attention from the top management that is quite crucial to risk management. Transparency and discussions going across organizational borders are also something I like to see in a mature organization. It's important to understand that risk management is everyone's business, and the frontline managers are just as important as they see the first signs of risk as top management who see the whole landscape. Finally, that risk management is integrated in all forms of processes, such as strategy, budgets, IT roadmaps, etc. That's how you gain the most value.
Risk can have a negative spin. I've heard you talk about opportunity risks, the risk of missing out on opportunities because we fail to see them or act on them. Can you explain this term and give us some examples of what opportunity risks might look like?
Indeed, we're generally talking about risks as having a negative outcome that should be avoided. That is, of course, true of most risks. They are what hinders us in reaching our goals. But there are also opportunity risks in the changing environment around us. If we do not take advantage of a potential gain or opportunity, that is an opportunity risk. You can take one of the most unfortunate events in recent time, the COVID pandemic, which challenged us at so many levels. But there were also opportunities in COVID. Many, if not all, administrations had to work from home, so we could develop our distance working capability. We had to do it anyway, so why not use the opportunity to become much better at it? The COVID period also meant that we had to implement new policies at a pace never seen before. Most administrations succeeded in that, so there was an opportunity to look at our systems development. We managed to change our systems very quickly. Could we perhaps learn from that and create more efficient processes? We could no longer have taxpayers come to our offices and had to make other solutions. There was an opportunity in making administrations less dependent on physical contact with the taxpayers. And these are just some examples of opportunity risks. Few tax authorities work with opportunity risks, and in my opinion, it's an important area to explore.
There seem to be human behavior at play here. We tend to attach more importance to the risk of a loss than to a potential gain. This loss aversion can lead to poor decisions. Now, this is a TADAT podcast, and it's natural for us to think about how enterprise risk management relates to the TADAT framework. It's of course reflected in the second performance outcome area about effective risk management, but it could be argued that there's a wider relevance. Torsten, how do you see the relevance of enterprise risk management to TADAT?
As you say, it's natural to start with the second POA, with the intended outcome, risks to revenue and tax administration operations identified and managed effectively. 3 out of 5 indicators in this POA are focused on compliance risk management. The remaining 2 are focused on operational risks, including business continuity and human resource. EIM in this way is a whole POA, but one very much focused on compliance risks. I would perhaps challenge TADAT to think about whether EIM in a broader sense would merit a separate POA, or whether additional indicators should be introduced to reflect importance beyond compliance, operational risks, and human resource. The relevance of EIM to TADAT, of course, does not stop here, as risk is related to our attainment of goals. EIM is essential across most or all POAs. Think about integrity of the tax base, properly supporting voluntary compliance, filing, reporting, payments, collection, dispute resolution, revenue management, or accountability or transparency. Some measure the basis for risk management, for example, robust tax gap analysis in POA 6. Others measure risk mitigation practices, for example, data matching, compliance interventions, and revenue accounting. And still others measure the outcomes, for example, timely and accurate filing and payment in POAs 4 and 5. Thus, risk management is relevant in one way or another to all of them.
Clearly, there's a lot of risk management in tax administration. Before we wrap up, what advice would you give to tax authorities looking to progress on their risk management journeys and reassure their stakeholders that they are absolutely on top of their game?
Well, the obvious first advice to FTA members would be to join the EIM COI. There it's possible to find other administrations that are more than willing to share the models and experiences. Basically, a tax authority can get blueprints for how to establish EIM, or if it's further on the maturity ladder, how it can move ahead. As for training, there's a Vitara module coming up soon on EIM, which is certainly worth studying. The IMF also has excellent experts to consult on how to move ahead with risk management. The COI has also in previous years made an EIM maturity model for tax authorities, which is a valuable guide to set goals and compare tax administrations. One advice I also generally give is that if you are not yet into EIM, then focus on making your goals and processes transparent. Then the risk journey will be so much easier. Process management and risk management go hand in hand. If you don't know your processes, you can't effectively steer them, re-engineer them, or manage risks. This is also an important link to opportunity risks. Opportunities will be harder to see if you don't know the processes and what you want to achieve. And believe me, there are great opportunities also for tax authorities.
Thank you, Torsten. That is very encouraging, and what a great bridge to our next podcast on process management.
Thank you, Ronnie, and thank you to our listeners.
The TEDAT podcast is available free of charge. The views expressed in the TEDAT podcast are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent those of the International Monetary Fund or the IMF policy. Materials from the podcast may be reproduced with proper attribution. Comments and correspondence may be emailed to podcast@tedat.org. TEDAT is a collaborative undertaking of the following partners: France, Germany, the International Monetary Fund, Japan, the Netherlands, Norway, Switzerland, the United Kingdom, and the World Bank.